Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day on this Mother's Day Sunday morning. First, let me say Happy Mother's Day to everybody who gathered in this place today and for all those that are gathering this morning via Facebook Live this morning. It is a day to celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but it's also a day to celebrate all of the women in our lives who have played an important impact in our lives. And this morning we will have an opportunity to celebrate and recognize those ladies in our lives today a little bit later on in our worship service, but not right at this moment. So for those that are joining us this morning via Facebook Live with their friends and family, thank you for joining us. And I encourage you to go to our website and pull up our worship bulletin on our website at www.fbc-elon.org and use that as a resource today. For those that are gathered in our sanctuary this morning, I want to encourage you to go ahead and pick that bulletin up and look at the bottom. There's many announcements that I want to point out this morning, lots of things. I don't want to spend a lot of time on all the announcements because there's lots of things going on, but as I just want to go run through quite a few of those this morning. First off, just a reminder, we do not have any evening activities tonight because we want to encourage you to spend time with your friends and family this morning, so I encourage you to do that. No evening activities tonight. But coming up this week, reminder to our senior adults on Tuesday, we do have our lunch at 11:30 at K&W. I encourage anybody who wants to come, enjoy some time of fellowship around the table, to join the group at 11:30 at K&W on Tuesday. Then on Thursday night, we continue our virtual Bible study on the book of Hebrews. We started this last week, had a great group that joined us on Facebook Live at 6:30 p.m., and that will continue this week as we look at Hebrews chapter 2. That'll be on Thursday night at 6:30. The study guide for that session can be found on the website as well. Go anytime to that. You can also, if you missed the last session, you can go to our Facebook page and watch that anytime because all the videos are stored there on our Facebook page. I also want to say thank you. Thank you for two things. Thank you for your generosity over the last 2 weeks helping out with Reed Fork Elementary School. First, I want to thank you for your generosity and the monetary donations that came in. We received enough money over the last 2 weeks to, instead of just purchasing snacks and breakfast items to take to the teachers for one day this past week for teacher appreciation, we received enough money that we were able to purchase an entire lunch for all the teachers and all the staff members at the school. So on Thursday, Gay and Leslie and Susan went and delivered lunch to the entire staff on Thursday to Reedy Fork Elementary School, and they were thoroughly thankful. We have a thank you letter in our office this morning, and they were just overwhelmed by our generosity. So thank you for your support for Reedy Fork Elementary School. Let me also say thank you for all the donations that have come in over the last couple weeks for the goodie bags for the cheer squad for the Elon Reading Day. Those bags will be put together in the next couple of days and be delivered on Tuesday and Wednesday. But we have an overwhelming amount of things that have come in, especially over this past week. So thank you for your generosity. And we know that the Elon students will be very thankful for those bags. Also, be in prayer for all the Elon students as they take their final exams over the next couple weeks. It is a stressful time for our community, especially our college students who are taking exams. So be in prayer for them over the coming days. Also, do not forget our missions in gathering for the month of May is for the Burlington Animal Shelter. Many items have come over the past week, and we have the entire month of May to bring in items, and the items we're collecting are found on your bulletin and in the newsletter, so make sure you take special note of those. Also, Gay mentioned last week, the senior adult luncheon's coming up at the end of the month on Tuesday, May 31st. We're going to have a wonderful Hershey barbecue and roasted chicken lunch, so make sure you sign up so we have enough food. Also, we'll have guest speaker Samantha Allred from the North Carolina Baptist Aging Ministry. She'll be coming to share her wisdom and insight, so I encourage you to sign up. If you have not signed up already, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Lots of names are already on that list, and I walked around the Sunday school classrooms this week and saw there are lots of names all around the church that have signed up for it. But if your name's not on that list, make sure you get it on there this week so we know we have enough food coming for that luncheon. Last but not least, as you sat down this morning, you noticed that it was not just the bulletin in your place, but there was also another sheet. That is for our deacon nominating team. That is for your recommendations for deacons for this upcoming church calendar year, for the year 2022 and 2023. If you did not get one, you can kind of look in the pew along. It's a half sheet. There were some in the Sunday school classrooms as well this morning. We want you to prayerfully consider who you might think would be a good deacon for the upcoming year. Write their names down on that sheet. You can drop it in the offering plate this morning as you leave, or prayerfully consider it. Take it home with you today. Over the next couple weeks, this Sunday, next Sunday, and May 22nd, those forms will be around for you, for a chance for you to write those names down. We want them back into the church office by Sunday, May 22nd. So be in prayer for those individuals that might consider being deacons for this upcoming year. We need 3 new deacons for this upcoming calendar year. The names of the deacons that are currently deacons are on that list. Also, the names of those that are rotating off. So all the names on that list cannot serve this upcoming year. You can't write those names down again. You can't double them up, okay? So anybody else is welcome to put anybody else's name down. But prayerfully consider who would be a good individual who would serve the body of Christ, serve the body here at First Baptist Elam, because that's what a deacon is called to do. So consider those, write those names down, and drop them in the offering plate over the next couple weeks. There are many other things. Check out your newsletter for things coming up in the coming weeks. But we are gathered here to worship. We're gathered here to celebrate, to sing praise to God, who is the giver of all good things. So let's stand and worship this morning.
Our opening hymn is Faith of Our Mothers. You may be seated.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 36, reading verses 5 through 10. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you persevere both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love, both high and low among men. Find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. As we think about Mother's Day, the one word that jumps to my mind is love. That is what defines not just Mother's Day, but defines who God is, who Jesus is. So let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning, reflecting on that word. Father of us all, Mother of each one, thank you for your love for us from the beginning of time. You formed us when we were in our mother's womb. You knit us together lovingly. Your devotion to us has not failed. Your care has followed us our whole life long. All we are and all we have, we owe to you. And so on this day, the Lord's Day, this Mother's Day, in this house devoted to your glory, we give honor and praise to you with our hearts, our hands, and our voices. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
This next hymn that we're going to sing, you might not recognize the title, Would You Bless Our Homes and Family, but it's to the tune of Come Thou Fount. So you'll recognize the tune. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Oh,
may be seated.
Today is a day to celebrate and is a day to remember. Each one of us was brought into this world by a mother. While the role of that mother may have changed from the moment of our birth, depending on each of our own personal stories, I am confident that God has placed women in our lives from that moment and has guided us in our faith. These women have taught us lessons of life, and they have instilled wisdom that we still carry and hold so dear today. Mothers, grandmothers, aunts, cousins, teachers, bosses, co-workers, Sunday school teachers, neighbors, friends, and the list goes on and on. All gifts from God who have had an impact on the lives of so many. If you are one of these women, a gift from God who have had an impact on the lives of others, this morning I encourage you and ask you that you would stand at this time. May we have a round of applause for these ladies. Now, remain standing. You don't get to sit down yet. You have to stand for a little bit. Now, if the congregation would join me in the response of reading, it's not printed in your bulletin this morning. It's actually on the screen. It'll be on the screen behind me. I'll read the leader part, and everybody else will read the all part that will be printed, listed. All who gather here are sons or daughters.
We praise God for the women who gave us life.
For mothers, brave, strong, compassionate, full of wisdom and grace.
We give God thanks and praise.
For mothers, vulnerable, worried, frustrated, and hurried. For relationships that are strained and no longer a source of joy.
We pray for healing.
For mothers who have died, that live no longer with us, but whose light shines on in our hearts and memories.
We pray for those that mourn and give God thanks for life eternal.
For mothers who grieve, who have lost children, born or unborn.
We weep with those.
For those who are struggling to raise children, who are tired and weary.
We pray that we may be their village, offering real help in hard times.
For those who are preparing emptier nests.
We both celebrate and mourn with you, and we hope their wings are as strong as their roots are deep.
For stepmothers, navigating the pitfalls and joys of creating a new family.
We pray for wisdom and patience.
For grandmothers who are doing the hard work of raising children again.
We pray for caregivers and those who care for them.
For those who are waiting and sometimes struggling with the biological process to bring new life, and for those who are waiting for the adoptive process to be fulfilled. For women who do not have children, but instead teach, lead, care for, and guide the children of others.
We give God thanks and praise.
For the mothers, sisters, daughters in our midst and around the world. For the women who, created in the image of God, give not just life, but abundant life. For women fighting, struggling, and sweating for the sake of others. For women caring, compassionate, and crying with the heart of Christ. For the caregivers, prophets, preachers, teachers, leaders, shepherds, healers. For moms in their wide variety and many forms. We give God thanks and praise. And now may we have a special prayer for our ladies in our congregation this morning. Pray with me. God of all life, we thank you for adopting us into your family through the miracle of baptism and for calling us to be brothers and sisters to each other through Jesus, the only Son of God. Today, loving Father, we pray for our mothers and the mothers in our midst today who cared for us when we were helpless, who comforted us when we were hurt, whose love and care we usually took for granted, as we often take your love for granted. Today we pray for those who are grieving the loss of their mothers, maybe even years after they were separated, those who never knew their biological mother and now yearn for her, those who have experienced the wonder of an adopted mother's love, for also families separated for whatever the reason might be. Today we pray for those women in our midst who have stepped up to serve as mothers when needed. Gifts from your hand that we never expected but were definitely needed. Thank you for ever presence in our lives, Father, for placing these ladies in our lives always when we need them, in the past, in the present, and we definitely know in the days to come. Lord, give these women special blessings, not just this day, but every day, as they were blessings to us and continue to be blessings to us. Keep us united with Christ so that we can love in the way they have shown us what true love is and what you have shown what true love is. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Ladies, if you will remain standing at this time, we have a special gift that we want to present to you. And as you receive your gift, then you can be seated. That lets us know that everybody's received it. And at this time, I'm going to call John Hines. And after all the gifts have been presented, then John will have our offertory prayer.
May we pray. Compassionate Father, thank you that you are our strength and our song. You fill our hearts with joy. May we give our offerings to you with gladness and joy. Everything we have belongs to you, and we rejoice to give some of our abundant gifts back to you. Bless these tithes and offerings we give today. Let the majesty of the Father be the light that guides us, the compassion of the Son be the love that inspires us, and the presence of the Spirit be the power that empowers us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Oh,
Thank you, choir, for our beautiful special this morning. And thank you, Mark, for leading us on the organ this morning. Many of you may have noticed that Bert's not with us this day. She was planning to be with us this morning playing the piano, but she is having some health issues, so be in prayer for Bert this week. And we hope that she will be back next Sunday, but just be in prayer for her at this time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we seek to encounter God through His Word this day. Let's pray. Lord, many of us read the words from Your Holy Word and are inspired, encouraged, and grateful. But then sometimes we are tempted to doubt that Your grace could ever produce the kinds of virtue that will be described this morning in Proverbs 31 in our lives. Some of us are tempted by resentment and unforgiveness because of those who have let us down. Some of us are tempted to condemn ourselves for past failings, and all of us remember times when we have fallen short. Father, this morning, forgive us for our doubt. Forgive us for our resentment. Forgive us for our unforgiving hearts, our self-condemning attitudes. Remind us of Your forgiveness, always available in Jesus Christ our Lord. And in spite of our failures and our sin, we trust in Your power to transform our lives. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit this day, Lord Jesus, so that our lives may bring joy to Your world and praise to Your name. And all God's people said, Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship on this Mother's Day Sunday morning. And again, to all our women in our congregation, to our ladies, happy Mother's Day. And let me say thank you for all our ladies in our congregation for the impact that you have had on the lives of the people around you. For those, that impact that's seen and that impact that is unseen. Because oftentimes that's what's unspoken of. That doesn't get recognized on this day. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. That's going to be the focus for our sermon this morning. But something I learned from a very young age and that I kind of been reflecting on over the last couple weeks, I was thinking about this sermon, that every life experience that we go through can be played out on the elementary school playground. Remember those days? Remember playing on the elementary school playground? Almost all life experiences happened on the playground. Think about it. Any challenge that you face today, you faced when you were trying to cross those monkey bars for the first time. And when you achieved it, it felt good, didn't it? If you didn't achieve it, it's like when you fail at doing something now, doesn't it? Same thing, same feeling. When we conquer something, we conquer that goal. But that's not all. Think about learning to share. Think about the limited number of swings on the swing set. And everybody likes to swing. And if you got to the swing set first and you were enjoying your time, and the teacher comes up to you and says, David, it's time for you to let someone else swing, and you don't want to, you begrudgingly get off and you share that swing with someone else. Learning to share, you learn it on the playground. Think about working together, working hand in hand, the give and take to complete a task. Guess where you learn that? It's on the seesaw. You learned it on the seesaw, one side or the other. But also, you learned abandonment on the seesaw as well, Because you've all been on the top of that seesaw and that other person jumped off, and you know what happens. You come crashing down. We've all felt that pain. But that's not just all. Think about handling crisis. You know crisis. You know that first time you fell on the concrete and skinned that knee. You thought your parents were going to be mad because you ripped a hole in your pants. But also you saw the blood and you saw the pain that it felt. And you know what it was going to feel like when the teacher put that pink, nasty methylate or mercury crumb on it. And you were going to scream your head off. Now, current students don't know what that feels like because they banned that stuff. You can't use it anymore. But y'all all know what pain I'm talking about, right? You all learned it on the playground. Everything was learned on the playground. You learned to make friends on the playground. You learned on going on adventures on the playground. You learned about experiencing your first crush. Where did you learn it? On the playground. Some of you may even had your first wedding on the playground. You know what I'm talking about. You name it, it all happened on the playground. But one of the worst things that happened on the elementary school playground was being called names. That's right. You know you did it, but you know you had someone call you a name. Now, names got thrown around, all kinds of names. You were called a sissy. You were called a chicken for not being willing to go across the monkey bars one time or another. You were called a tattletale if you went and told the teacher that so-and-so did something, right? But the worst name of all, at least for a boy anyway, the worst name that you could be called if you were on the playground was, oh, he's a mama's boy. You did not want to be called a mama's boy because you know what that meant. That meant you were too close to your mama. You couldn't stick up for yourself. But I'm going to challenge that this morning. That maybe when you were called a mama's boy on the playground, that could have been one of the highest praises that you could have been called. Now, Sigmund Freud, if you'd have been called a mama's boy on the playground, Sigmund Freud, the psychologist, would have said, well, that person had a complex. And he went in great and made lots of money talking about the mama's boy complex. But I'm not going to go down that path today. Instead, I'm going to follow radio host Paul Harvey, who had a series of radio, he made quite a good living, talking about the rest of the story series by Paul Harvey. He talked about mama's boys one time on his radio show. And he shared a couple stories about a couple mama's boys that I want to share with you this morning. James was a mama's boy, it was said. He was never a more devoted son. His relationship with his mother was so close that it lasted a lifetime. What impressed James the most was his mother's unfailing confidence in him no matter what he did. The kind of blind confidence that only a mother can express and mean it. Even on his deathbed, James' agony could only be overcome by writing a letter to his mother. Do you know why? It's because James was a mama's boy. Not this James, but maybe this James too. But James was a mama's boy. Now Ted was a mama's boy too. Ted, however, was eternally 7 years old. Throughout his entire life, his friends warned those about to meet him that, guess what, Ted's simply 7 years old. Why? Well, Ted was a mama's boy. Letters to his mother always began, "Darling, beloved, little motherling." Boy, what a mama's boy. She had a compulsion for cleanliness, and so did he. Back and forth, Ted and his mother were simply one and the same. You know why? It's because Ted was a mama's boy. Now, Frank was a mama's boy, too. He would not dare go to school without his mother. And I'm not talking about the elementary school down the road. Frank would not go to the university. That's Harvard University, without his mother. Frank's mother had an extraordinary drive for perfection, and she focused it all on Frank. For 6 full decades, she tried to organize her son's life in minute details, and guess what? Frank loved every single minute of it. You know why? It's because Frank was a mama's boy. Now, David was a mama's boys too. David was a big boy in the army as well, yet he never stopped writing his mother while he was in the army. In fact, he once swiped a top secret directive and on the other side made it into a Mother's Day card. All through David's life, he subconsciously imitated his mother, her laugh, her expressions, even her smile. And we all know why. It was because he was a mama's boy. But then again, John was a mama's boy too. He imitated his mother every step of his life. He was a darling after his mother's eye. You see, all of them were mama's boys. Even in time of crisis, John always thought of his mother, about how she would get through the situation. So, can you be too close to your mother? That's the question. That's what a mama's boy is, right? Someone who's too close to your mother. Or you may be just thinking right now, David's just gone into a long sermon illustration that I have no idea where he's going with this. If you believe that you can be too close to your mother, then you might want to have a talk with James Garfield, that's the James, or Teddy Roosevelt, that's the Ted, or Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that's the Frank, or Dwight D., also known as David, Eisenhower, or John F. Kennedy. You see, those are all the mama's boys that I just shared with you. They were not afraid of their mama's. They were not afraid of the affection they had for their mamas either. And they each became presidents of the United States of America. And as our famous radio host would say, that's the rest of the story. There is perhaps no greater illustration of the old saying that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Perhaps there is no greater testimonial for the life of a mother than for her children to rise up and call her blessed. Of all the opportunities given to a mother, none can be greater than the opportunity to mold and influence the life of a child. Today, it is more important than ever for mothers to recognize these opportunities because they are the hands that literally rule the world. Let's turn to a passage in Scripture that talks about this, the very popular Proverbs chapter 31. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'll just be reading the last 6 or so verses in this passage, this famous passage about the characteristics of a godly and noble woman. Proverbs 31 is oftentimes used. It's oftentimes requested for funerals. I often use it when I have the great pleasure of doing eulogies for women in funerals. But it speaks to life. It speaks to life. This passage speaks to life. So Proverbs 31, verses 25 through 31 this morning. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. believe this passage of Scripture, these seven verses, points to three important opportunities that mothers, really all women, and really all believers have as followers of Christ that we need to be aware of. And I'm just going to take a few minutes on each. The first one is this. Mothers have the opportunity to mold personalities. One of the early lessons that I learned taking psychology courses at UNC Wilmington, and I did not major in psychology, my wife did, but I got to take a few classes because I wanted to take classes that she was in. That just makes sense, right? So I took a lot of psychology classes, and I did not do as well as she did in them. She helped me get through them. But one of the things I did learn is this, is there was always from the very beginning this argument about nature versus nurture. The nature versus nurture debate is this, in short. It centers on whether an individual's personality is determined by the inherited genetics from their parents that they got from their genes, that's the nature area, or if I'm right there, or the environmental influence that surrounds them. This is the nurture area. In general, and this is very general, in general, scientists believe that 50% of our personality comes from our genetics, what the DNA has been given us from our parents. We can't help what's passed on from our genetics from our parents. We just can't help. That's 50% of us. However, that other 50% has great influence. And this is the part that is determined by those people that are nurturing us, those people that are around us, molding us and instructing in us and hopefully molding us into the people that God wants us to be. And guess who is at the top of that list? Most of the time it's our mamas. It's our mothers. God has given us that 50% to individuals that he trusts, our mothers, our grandmothers, fathers as well, and the list goes on and on to help mold children and teenagers and adolescents to be followers of him. Mothers are given the opportunity to do this. And what do we do with opportunities? We have two choices to do with opportunities we can have. We can seize the opportunity or we can just let it pass by. So what do we do? What are we called to do? We're called to seize it. God has given that 50% to us for a reason. And what a special and daunting gift that is. That is why in verse 26 it says, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. This is the molding of the personalities that we're talking about. Mothers, grandmothers, fathers, all of us, all believers have that opportunity to seize and mold the personalities of those around us. But that's not all. There's also the opportunity to mold those. That's not the only molding opportunity, sorry. Mothers also have the opportunity to mold behavior as well. Personality to start with, behavior is second. I believe that the biggest hope that a parent has, and I know this is the biggest hope that I have, the biggest hope that parents have for their children is that they will grow up to be healthy, that they'll grow up to be mature, and that they'll grow up to be successful human beings. That's my hope. My also hope is that they'll grow up to know who Christ is and they'll live to honor and serve him. Underlying this all is that we hope that our children, we hope that our grandchildren will grow up to be good people, right? Amen? We don't want our children, our grandchildren to be bad people. We want them to be good people. We want people to look at them and say, you know what, that's a good person. Mothers, all believers, have the opportunity to mold behavior of the young. Compassion, love, giving, self-sacrifice, all must be taught. These do not come naturally. We cannot trust that these qualities will be learned on the elementary school playground. Trust me, we don't want to wait that long because we have to instill it before then. We must not just speak these qualities into action as well. We also must model them through our actions. A mother must instill these qualities in her children because she cannot control who her children are going to end up hanging out with, who they're going to grow up to be friends with, who they may find them beside them years and years down the road. For example, a mother was concerned about her only son going off to college. So, being the good mother that she is, she decided to write the following letter to the college president. And she said this: "Dear sir, my son has been accepted for admission to your college, and soon he will be leaving me. I am writing to ask you that you give your personal attention," personal in bold, "your personal attention to the selection of his roommate. I want to be sure that his roommate is not the kind of person who uses foul language, tells off-color jokes, smokes, drinks, or chases after girls. I hope you will understand why I am appealing to you directly. You see, this is the first time my son will be away from home, except for his 3 years that he served in the Marine Corps. Just as the positive qualities must be taught and modeled, instructing our children about the negative qualities of life also must take place. Bitterness, resentment, hatred, spitefulness, and cruelty must be taught, not modeled, but must be taught and understood as well." John Maxwell shared a story about how closely children watch their parents. So a little girl went shopping with her mother. And after the shopping experience was over, as they left the department store, her mother started complaining even before they got in the car. She was complaining about the crowds. She was complaining about the prices of everything that they went shopping for, and she was especially complaining about the service that they received in the store. She said, "And did you see that dirty look that the salesperson gave me as we were leaving?" she asked her daughter. And the little girl responded, "Well, Mom, he didn't really give you that dirty look because you had it on your face when you went in the store." Children watch their parents. We have the opportunity to model and mold behavior. We have the opportunity to mold personality. And finally, and probably most importantly, mothers have the opportunity to mold souls. Mothers should capitalize on a child's natural curiosity about God. Children are born with the desire to ask questions, to seek knowledge, and to understand anything about life. If you don't believe me, go spend 10 minutes in a preschool. Little kids ask questions. And this is an open door to teach about God. What kind of books, what kind of videos, what kind of music are your children and are your grandchildren listening to? Your children and grandchildren should know more about God than they do about the Cookie Monster or Elmo. Children also need to be taught how to turn to God when their needs and their needs when they talk about their soul. In the book Children's Letter to God, a little girl named Nora wrote this: "Dear God, I don't ever feel alone anymore since I found out about you." Simple words from a simple child, but a powerful testimony. That is what we desire for all our children. Mothers, grandmothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, teachers, we must do our part as we seek to mold the souls of the youngest, the adolescents, the teenagers, all those who are seeking the Lord. In closing, John Killinger, in his book Lost in Wonder, Love and Praise, includes the following affirmation. He said this: I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was born of the promise to a virgin named Mary. I believe in the love Mary gave her son, which caused her to follow him in his ministry and stand by his cross as he died. I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of the children they bear. It is stronger than steel, softer than down, and more resilient than a green sapling on the hillside. It closes wounds, it melts disappointments, and it enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity. I believe that this love, even at its best, is only a shadow of all that we can expect of him, both in this life and the next. And I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in this world is a mother who lets this greatest love flow through her to her child, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of her joy. This entire world is filled with the influence of mothers. We all sit here as a testimony of that day, of that today, in some form or fashion. So my question today for the mothers, for all our women here today, and for every believer here today is this: do you want your influence to be felt in the life of your children, of your grandchildren, of this next generation? Do you want to leave a legacy of godliness that can be passed on to future generations? It's a yes or no question. And it's a question we all have to answer. So I challenge you today to ask for God's help as you answer it, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to take advantage of the opportunity to mold others with the hands that rule the world. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks this day for the hands that rule the world, the hands that mold personality, the hands that mold behavior, the hands that mold the souls that you proclaim and celebrate every single day. For those women that in our lives that are here in the present, here in this place today, or in your presence today, we give you thanks. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing, maybe today is a day of remembering. Maybe today is a day of celebration. Maybe today is a day of commitment. Whatever today is for you, whatever emotions that this day brings, give them to God. I'll be down front. I'll come and come talk with me. Altar is open. Give it to God today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn this morning. As you leave this place today, go out and be the influence that the world needs. Spend time with your family and friends today. Celebrate this day and remember. Go in peace. Amen.